All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a base town! Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and I'm pleased to announce all present and accounted for. Nicholas, Barry, and myself.
What's up?
We're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. Your afternoon is complete right here on 97.5.
What up?
Fellas, all good, I would assume.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Everything's great.
Good.
Couldn't be happier. At least I don't have a headache today.
Is that true? Because, I mean, yeah, yesterday you weren't your 100%.
I wasn't feeling it yesterday. You know,
you were cramping.
No, it was a headache. But, you know, some days you come to work and you give it the old college try, but you don't feel it. And that was yesterday for me. So I'm much better. I'm much happier. I'm ready to talk some sports. And
have you gotten over your back?
I'm actually ready to talk about you.
I know you are.
Threatened to get murdered.
The funny thing is, like,
I can't wait.
The funny thing is, no matter, I have learned, it's like, it's the same thing with being at home with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned there's certain things you just don't even bring up or mention because you know that it's going to be just, for one reason or another, it's going to have attention brought to it. You didn't really need, but it's fine.
Well, what? I mean, well, it was obvious last night. Although, so, okay, full disclosure. I had a show last night in Bryan, Texas. So I wasn't on the Twitters very much.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I didn't get to see it all.
Right.
But apparently, some guy threatened to murder you.
Not murder me, but it's like, you know what? Here's the thing. So, obviously, and I finally, when I got tired of all of this, as we do on a nightly basis, all three of us do this. We either unsolicited give our opinions on sports and other things.
I mean, which is our job.
You did it on Drummers. I did it on the Rockets.
Yes.
Nick, you do it on a variety of topics, depending if you're at the game or whatever. And a lot of times people will solicit us for our opinions.
Yes.
And that's kind of why we get paid to do what we do. So after the Rockets game the other night, and we ended up having a discussion about it the next day, I was giving my analysis of what happened in the Spurs game and whether you worry about the dunk or not and everything else. And everybody was really good. Billy D. Washington and I had a good back and forth on some questions he had and a lot of other listeners. And all of a sudden, this dude was like, oh, yeah, real original take. And I'm like, okay, well, how about you break it down for me then? And he's like, how about you're a fat ass?
Oh.
I was like, what? And so I was like, you know what, man, here's the thing. If you know, I do this so that smart people can have really good conversation about their opinions on sports and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, get in the gym and start working out, bitch.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah? Really?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So then I look. He's got 47 followers.
Oh, man. So,
and he's
he's shouting it from the mountaintops, yeah. Bro. He just raked you over the coals. 47 people.
He's an Ohio State Buckeye.
Saw him call you
hack.
Out.
I told him to work on bigger three-syllable words.
I bet you if I go, what's his handle?
Let's see.
I bet
don't
if I
give
go.
Him the hand, don't give out the handle.
No. I bet, yeah.
You can find it on Twitter.
I mean, can find it on the thread.
Greatest thing was
Jerry. Oh, here, I found him.
Jerry,
I bet if I look at his 47 followers, most of them are like porn bots that just followed him back, right?
Could be. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Or the host of the A-Team, because he's a big fan. But
oh, is he?
I mean,
that explains
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. So then Jerry Bowe sees it. And Jerry Bowe, who he just chimes in and was like, bro, seriously, you mean you better just get back to work so your boss doesn't see this, whatever. And of course, then Jerry has tagged me and he's responded and the suspects see it. And,
oh,
then,
of course.
And then it's just like,
it's all in a pop.
It's fun
at that
time.
Point.
Yeah. Then they all just jump on and I'm just like, all right. Well, yeah. Cause at one point he's like, I'll hunt you down, bitch. I was like, seriously, man,
I'll hunt you down. Can we just do
it? What is so wrong with your
listeners
life?
Listeners love to do that.
Yeah.
Can we just not? I don't want to just breeze past that. I will hunt you down, bitch.
Yeah.
That's what he told you.
Yeah.
A grown ass man.
Exactly.
On Twitter with nothing better to do in his sweet, sweet life than to say he's going to hunt you down. You're literally right there on Twitter. He could say everything he needs to say. This is when you get those tough guys that are like, I'm so big and bad and tough and I can talk all this smack on Twitters And then these are the guys that see us, and I say us as individually,
right.
Just in general, at an outing or at a, and they're like, "Oh, what's up, man? I listen every day." And then they run back to their keyboard and talk smack. It's like, bro, just keep the same energy in person.
Well,
that's all I want you to do. Just keep the same energy in person that you have online.
Because honestly, I didn't take one shot at him like name calling. I just was very clear and like, this is what we do why we do it.
You're a better person than me.
I know it.
Because you see me just yesterday.
Channeling, I was like, there was parts of me that was channeling my inner Barry going, I want to just lace into this guy.
Just yesterday, I F-bombed some guy, not a listener, but I don't know who it was, but he said something being disrespectful. Oh, he called me the sidekick of the show. I was bitch.
See,
that's Nick.
And
I'm just saying, don't be disrespectful and expect me not to come back at you.
Of course.
I mean, you should have went back at him.
Well, and believe me, I did, like I said, I didn't call him names, but I did pretty much put it to bed pretty quickly, and I don't think he liked it because all of his comebacks were just basically, you fat ass, you get in the gym, you bitch, you blah, blah. And I'm like, well, if that's all you got, bro, like seriously, I said, I would give up your career as a freestyle rapper or a comedian because it's not funny and it's not quick. And if that's all you got, just let it go. And you're right, because the thing is, I made those tweets in which all the dialogue was going on my account.
Yeah, you didn't go to him.
I didn't go to him. I didn't seek him out. I didn't go to Nate. He had to go, and then because he wanted his life to feel better, he went at me to just take shots because, you know why? Because he's a huge Rockets hack, too, and he didn't like what I had to say.
Wow.
It's just, it's pretty pathetic. So.
Wow, I'm looking at the thread right now. Original take. Okay, fat ass, and you're me, still a fat ass. That doesn't even make sense.
No. Mm-mm.
And he spelled it as the wrong your.
Yep.
Shots, you're a soft bitch. What? Suck on the radio and even a bigger bitch on Twitter. No, that's not how that works, bro. No. You're the one that and can't take a sports take. And it's not like you were wildly inaccurate in your assessment either.
And then I said, and it was like, yeah, it's not like I'm saying the Rockets aren't going to make the playoffs or anything like that. And then I said, so here's the really curious thing because of the radio comment. I was like, I don't know what you do. And I don't care because it's not that big of a deal.
He hit you with the see you soon, bitch.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
By the way, could you tell him to stop using my word?
That's true.
We've established that. He's stealing my bit.
Dude, if he goes suck it somewhere.
If he goes suck it, he better get in shape.
Woo-wee.
You better get in shape, pal.
So, yeah. So that was fun.
That's awesome. And
Then I started.
On a scale of a koala bear to the Hulk, how pissed were you reading this? Like, how angry were you? Just hulking out in your man cave? Like, just like punching yourself in the penis. I'll kill you!
I never even got like worked up about it because I was like, if people are willing to like spend time, energy, and more, obviously, with what he was tweeting, because of the fact that I didn't like his favorite team the way he wanted me to, or didn't comment on it the way he wanted me to, I was like, you know, and I've got people DMing me going, you better watch out. These are crazy people. Blah, 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 blah. You better. And I'm like, seriously, people, it's not that serious.
It gives you some heat. That's why I pack, dude.
I know.
Got to get you some heat, Joel. Got to keep it out in these streets, man. You never know.
It's in the car, Barry. I just crazy. Don't carry it up to the studio like you do. So it's
people are wild, dude. It's so weird. And so you ended up having to block him because he was a psychopath?
Because I'm like, with every tweet he sent me, it was like more and more like off the deep end. And I'm going,
he is crazy. You got to be.
I was like, all right, bro. Well, then,
like,
you know.
This one a little far. Look, it's one thing to bump your chest and
I was gonna say, like,
talk a little smack to each other online. I'm going to kick your ass. Meet me by the bike rack. Okay.
Yeah. But then if you start getting legit psycho. I go back to like high school, college, and like my single days and going, even if we were deep into Twitter back then, I don't think there ever would have been a case where anything on Twitter would have riled me up enough to go, you know what? I'm ending this right now. I'm going to go seek this dude out, and I'm just going to go face-to-face on it.
Fight you.
It's just stupid.
Because, like, you know, I'm 45 years old. You're 65. We don't fight anymore.
Right?
There's no reason to fight. We're grown-ass adults.
I got a family. I got two kids and a wife.
Yeah, don't fight.
It's just and the thing is, again, it's a sports take. Like, if I offended your family or I did something that affected your income or something like that and you're upset, I could see you wanting to at least confront me on it. But on a sports take on Twitter, it's like, that's what you're worried about?
You're going to get that upset.
Man. So, yeah, I felt like you again last night. I was like, see, but here's the thing. I've got so many that are locked and loaded and ready to go that I'm just going to sit on. Because I know that all it's going to do is if I go to stoop to his level and go to taking personal shots,
yeah,
that it's just going to give him more to just go nuts.
This is probably a good time to cover mine as well. And
yeah,
I'm not trying
please.
To one-up
no,
you.
No, absolutely.
But this absolutely
my
happened.
Sister, my sister's great at it, so go ahead.
This absolutely happened last night. And so I had the show in Bryan, Texas, and I went out there and got to work with a bunch of cool comics in the Bryan comedy scene, and that was cool. This dude named Steve Stewart was featuring for me, and he was posting about it on his Facebook. And he told me this afterwards. He goes, hey, I sent you a friend request. Will you go check this out and respond to this dude? So some dude named Ray Ramirez is on this thread, right? And he says, I'm going to be the feature on this show with Barry. Come out. And so Ray says, wow, really? That's our local ESPN radio guy from 1 to 4. I listen to him every day. I hate him. Why do you hate me, why do you listen every day? So Steve goes, will you do me a favor? I'm going to send you a friend request. Will you go, like, reply to this dude and say something? I was like, oh, of course. Absolutely. You must not know me that well, Steve. I do that all the time. So I responded. I was like, I'd probably hate you, too, if we met. So I get it, Ray. And then he goes, oh, my God, dude, this just made my night. I've been listening to y'all for years. I love it. What, do you hate me or do you love me? You're going to have to make up your mind. Stop being so wishy-washy. So I told him I was going to talk trash about him on the radio for being a punk ass. And yeah, like, if you hate me, just hate me. You can't be like, I hate you. Hey, what's up? Oh, dude, what's up, man? No, you can't. It's too late now. You already said you hate me, Ray. Too late. Can't take it back. No take backs on the hate. And somebody wants to know, they texted and is like, wait a minute. Can we go over the words that can be said on the radio? Because I had no idea you could say bitch on the radio.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you bitch. Do it on almost a daily basis.
I ass. Try to wear it out.
I heard Raheel use it the other day. I was like, he's stealing Barry's bit. Better be careful.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
Was it the third one you said? I heard bitch. I heard ass.
I didn't say the third one.
The third one? Or the third one?
I didn't say a third one.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, it sounded like you said to start with a T. Like T and then JJ Watt?
Oh, no. No.
Wow, that's just so right there, too. Hey, with that being said,
I think Joel would have heard it.
You guys are our suspects. You guys are our audience, and we love you. So come on in, join
the
show.
Trade to talk about next.
713-780-3776 HRP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter at Barry. At Barry is funny. At Pac-Man Joel with a K.
Don't care about that.
At the producer Nick. At Jake Marisnik is a Met. We'll talk about it next. Right here on the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Both of you can kiss my ass on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. How many of you people remember who Evelyn Wood was? Because I do. Because Evelyn Wood was the, you know, all the different, like, late night commercials they used to have, like the Fred McGriff hitting school and all that. Evelyn Wood was the speed reading dynamics where the people would take their fingers and, like, go 30 seconds down the, like, a novel page and be done with it as quickly as they could. So Barry's all got, I won't say his undies in a bundle, but we all know that when Barry reads, the whole world needs to be still. And so Barry was reading an article in the break. And I just
Barry was trying to read an article on the
but
break.
But first, he had said something
by
to
our very
to
own Sarah Barshop.
Right?
She wrote an article on ESPN.com about the Texans second chance secondary.
See what I'm talking about reading wise,
just in time for the playoff run. So I'm trying to read that article, and then I got Blabby McBlaberson over here. I'm like, bro.
So he started the conversation when we went to the break, but then
no,
he started. Then he goes, "Not going to read this article." So then I asked him when he got back, and the first thing is you play the music, Nick, is, fine, I only got two paragraphs in now. Not even finished the article. I'm like, oh, my God, you need Evelyn Wood speed reading. He goes, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't. I think Nick is right. That was a reference from the 40s.
Okay. Well, then if it was, I'll have to ask my parents about it. But
there is, because there's black and white video.
Did you just make it racist?
I'm just saying.
Evelyn.
Right. Evelyn Wood speed reader on I've Got a Secret in this black and white video on YouTube.
Oh, I don't think it was a black and white commercial.
It's absolutely black and white.
Oh, my God. Look at her.
I never saw Evelyn Wood. They were commercials.
She looks like a lady that manages Lunch Ladies. Like,
I just remember, you know, it's like, it's like Cliff Notes
Slater.
She looks
like all my employees, and she's talking about all the lunch ladies at a school or something.
I just remember that it was like having Cliff Notes when you had to read a novel for school or something like that, like To Kill a Mockingbird or whatever. But I remember that people were always looking for the easy way out. So they saw this commercial, and these people would take their pointer finger, and they'd take a 600-word page of material and go, zip, 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 zip.
She alleged that she was capable of reading 2,700 words a minute. Oh, lion-ass Evelyn. There ain't no way you're reading 2,700.
Can you imagine what her typing skills were like?
2,700 words a minute, my ass, Evelyn. Her book, Reading Skills, was published in 1959. What?
Okay, but when were the commercials on TV? They weren't in the 40s, they weren't in the 50s, but you go right ahead.
Boy, you are old, bro.
Goodness gracious.
Joel farts you, dust.
You hit us with a 1959 reference.
All I know is my mom was very intrigued by it, but my mom could read like a 700 to a 1,500 word book in like less than a day.
Really?
Wow. Oh, my God. My mom was a reader.
How many words book?
Like 700 to 1,500. I don't know. How many, like, I'm sorry. Not words. Pages.
I was going
to
say.
700 to 1,500 page
book.
There
wasn't even 700 words in that article right. That I tried to read.
That's what
I
mean.
You weren't talking.
Pages. Like,
okay.
And she would just, she and my aunt. And then they tried to get my sister involved later. They would trade like 1,000-page books. They would trade like 10 of them a week. I finished all 10. You want them? I was like, it's Tuesday.
She said she reads down the page and not left to right, reading groups of words to complete thoughts rather than single words, avoiding involuntary rereading of material and applying their efficiency to varied material. So she doesn't read left to right. She just reads down the page.
That's
weird.
Yeah. Now, you did do Cliff Notes back in the day, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cliff's Notes. There's an S on the end.
Is there really?
Cliff's Notes.
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
It's not Cliff Notes. It's Cliff's Notes.
Like apostrophe S?
Yes.
Like
Cliff's Notes.
From Cheers?
Are we all going to look this up together?
I'm going to trust that if you're wrong, you'll just kind of
start. It is. He's right.
Cliff's Notes.
They were yellow. It was a yellow little
yellow
mini booklet
stripes.
With black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was all about Cliff's Notes.
But sometimes
never got me through high school.
But we Cliff Noted it. We just called it Cliff Notes.
Yep. Yeah.
See what you did there, Joe.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. So Jake Marisnyk is now a member of the New York Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, people.
You're going to bring it up.
Julia Morales looks like someone stole her dog. I mean, everything on Twitter is just like, what are we going to do? Oh, no. And then, I mean, like every like housewife and single girl with hopes of marrying an athlete were just like, not Jake.
Half the city just dried up.
Good Lord. I understand he was a clubhouse guy. I understand that, you know, he was a fan favorite. He was the backup defensive outfielder.
He was dreamy, okay? Let's be real.
Was it the hair or the beard?
Yes. It was
okay.
All of that. It was everything. He was dreamy. He was a backup center fielder that... My favorite thing about... What's your favorite Jake Marisnyk moment? Mine was every time he'd go on a mini little run where he'd... 300 over 2 weeks, and everybody be like, oh, why isn't Jake starting?
Yeah.
Because he's going to end up hitting 230 for the season. Relax. He'll come back down to earth. Trust me. And he always did. I will say he did get more pop in his bat, but that was about the time they started using trash cans for signals. So I don't know if that was...
Fair point.
Relative to...
Because of the fact, too. I mean, so if the Astros did romance novels, he'd be your cover boy. He'd be your Fabio.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be on the front of the book, but there wouldn't be much substance once you got in there.
No. So it's interesting though, because I didn't read the article. I didn't have time, obviously, because you were in the room. But God. Just you know, I'm gonna take those shots.
You didn't have the Cliff Notes version of it,
or the Cliff Notes.
Okay, either way.
But there was a thing where it was like, you know, he goes to the Mets, and guess who the Mets' new manager is?
Beltran.
Carlos Beltran, who was a teammate of Jake Marisnyk. So he's
and
looking to
JD
add.
Davis.
He was looking to add some depth, and you kind of wonder, is that what Beltran's doing? Where it's kind of some familiarity with some of these guys, so he's going to go out, and if he's, you know, not making big splash, I mean, he's not going to go out and try to trade for Bregman or anything like that, I imagine. But my point is he's going to go add some depth, and if he can if he can go to a team that he knows and like, oh, I trust Jake Mariznick, right? I played with him. I trust him. He's good depth for this team, and that's cool. That makes sense.
Well, one, the Mets could possibly be.
And he's a rental.
The Mets could be Jeff Luno's version of Daryl Morey and the Sacramento Kings.
Very
whenever
well
you need to make
be.
A trade, now you got Toronto and you got the Mets that are willing to deal with you that you've made several deals with.
Yep.
Then someone, well I thought where you were going with this was they said J.D. Davis, Beltran, now Mariznick. Mets Twitter was having a field day going, oh, sweet, we're all in, we're going to cheat.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is those three guys were on the team that, yep. that supposedly cheated,
right.
which J.D. Davis came out and said, if they were cheating, I didn't know about it because I hit like 180.
Yeah, he said he didn't know about it, and if he did, he would have hit a whole lot better. Yeah. So that's at least some good stuff if you're an Astros fan coming out of everything that has gone on recently to hear at least someone say, yeah, I didn't know anything about
and
that.
And so Astros trade Mariznick to the Mets, and in return they get a lefty Blake Taylor and an outfielder Kennedy Corona. I think the big thing about the Blake Taylor deal is that he put up some decent numbers in the minors where he had a sub 2.5 ERA. But the point that they were making in whatever article I was reading about his numbers is don't get too excited about them.
No.
Because it was against competition below him. He's an older prospect.
He was an A, double A, and then at the very end of
he's
last
24
season.
24 in A ball.
He made an appearance in triple A at the end of last season when people are just trying to see are you capable of getting it to the next level.
Right.
And he
faced one batter.
The infielder's 19 years old. So even if you are going to see him, it's going to be down the road a little bit. Let's also not lose sight of the fact that at least he got some prospects back because Luno is going to be obviously always the guy looked to make deals for this team. But they've given away a lot of their top prospects in the last couple deals they made, especially in the Greinke deal with Beer and others. So, you know, you're going to have to kind of replenish at some point. Plus, you don't know if you're going to have any more draft picks going forward for a while based on what happens with Major League Baseball and all of this stuff with the stealing signs. So he obviously at least got a couple guys back for a guy that was headed towards free agency that they didn't have a role for. They have a glutton of outfielders. And even towards the end of the year, it became very obvious. They'd love to move Reddick.
Mm-hmm.
But Reddick's making 13, last year of a deal. You're going to have to probably get someone to try and either want to cut salary in a year and take him on for that, and or you're going to have to pay for a good portion of his salary to get someone to take him. Here you got an easy out that you got a guy that was movable that teams were going to want.
He was probably going to cost you about $3 million, plus he was going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2021. So the Mets got some depth for a year.
Right.
Then they have some money to spend.
You got your guy Straw, who's faster on the bases, probably not as good defensively, but he's your Tony Kemp because he can play infield, he can play outfield, multiple positions, so Hinch doesn't have to have just a backup outfielder guy. Now the challenge becomes is this the first domino, and are they going to? They're still going to try and do everything they can to move Reddick because Kyle Tucker's going to be your everyday right fielder, or are they going to just...
You didn't like Miles Straw's defense in the outfield?
I like how fast he is in the outfield and everything like that, but he's no Jake Mariznick.
I think given the opportunity, he can.
Well, we'll
he
see.
Can be. Remember, dude, remember that play he made where he literally ran from right center to left field?
And speed plays I can see him make, but when you talk about up against the wall and running in, running out.
We'll have to see.
I believe right now Mariznick would, from by most
because
people's
of his height,
opinion,
sure.
would say Mariznick's a better defensive outfielder.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think overall, look.
I think Miles Straw will get there, though. I think given the opportunity, because he'll get a lot of those 7, 8, 9 innings where he's going to have plenty of opportunities to make spectacular plays, and I think he will.
People also don't realize how big of a challenge and adjustment it is when you go from, say you can't play a couple innings the night before in center field. Now they need you because of injury to play the infield for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Going back and forth. It can screw with you a little bit because you get comfortable at a certain position playing a certain way, and then they ask you to go play infield instead of outfield. But look, Astros fans are losing their mind because they get so attached to their favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the reality of professional sports. Sometimes in order to stay progressively positive going forward, you've got to make moves that aren't going to be fan-friendly, but they have to be made.
You basically had the choice of, were you going to get rid of Miles Straw, Yordan Alvarez, or Jake Mariznick? Because when you look, you got Brantley Springer, Kyle Tucker, Josh Reddick, like you mentioned, Miles Straw, Yordan is a left fielder, and Jake Mariznick. You can't carry that many outfielders. So when you look at all that, you've got a younger version of Jake Mariznick and a cheaper version of Miles Straw.
Right.
It made sense.
And
you picked up some depth. Now, I will say that those guys were not rated as top prospects in the Mets organization. So you just added some dudes to your farm system.
That could develop into something.
Maybe not.
Whether they develop and become a player in your system or they develop at all, that's just a bonus.
Yeah.
But at least you didn't just give him away or have him walk for nothing. And don't sleep on the fact that your boy Yordan has given them some flexibility that they otherwise wouldn't have had.
And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if, like you were talking about Reddick getting traded, if there was a similar deal where it was like, you know what, just give us two prospects in your top 100, and you can have Reddick.
That's all about finances. If you take all 13, absolutely, you might have to give us a bowl
of soup.
Would
you do that?
Yeah,
if they were like, just send us two, you know, A-ball arms or something, I'd totally do that.
In honor of the Twitter guy, I'll take two cans of chunky soup, and I will, and you can have Josh Reddick.
Absolutely.
All right, and there it is, half hour in the books. Still 2.5 to go as we continue to roll with the show. It's the usual suspects coming back with the second half hour in just mere minutes, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour one, 3-hour show. Always appreciate you guys both on and off the air being suspects. You guys are fantastic. We got Sportsy with you there, and we always run the gamut. As you know how we do it, we mix it up. But there's kind of a sports topic that also is where worlds collide, because it's what we do along with sports in a manner in which some discipline had to come down. If you missed it, guy's name is Tim Ryan. He does the color commentary for the San Francisco 49ers. And he was doing the game between the Niners and the Ravens on Sunday. And Nick, I'll let you guys make your own assumptions and determinations on if you feel like there was hate in his heart and he's a racist kind of guy, or this was just him making a comment. But he made a comment about Lamar Jackson, and he was suspended for a game. Here's what he said.
When his dark skin color with a dark football with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point. And you're a half step slow on.
And he went on from there.
Pretty stupid.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, there's certain things. First of all, I just don't know. When I listen to it, and I believe as an ex-player, I don't think I hear racism. But you just have to be smarter than that and be better than that. When you have a public forum and a microphone in front of you, I mean, look, I did that for years. And I'm telling you, there are certain ways that you would maybe quickly want to describe something, but you already in the back of your mind are going, no, that's going to be scrutinized the wrong way. And a lot of times, to Craig's credit, we would do it to each other. We'd be like, don't, you know, be careful how you phrase certain things, because even if you didn't mean it that way, people are going to take it that way. But that, you just got to be smarter than that.
I've always said, and on this show too, that there's a difference between being racist and saying something racist.
That's a good point.
And in this case, I don't even know that he said something racist. It's just what he said was ignorant. I mean, to me, it fell more into the ignorant category than racist category. Right. Yeah. What Earl Campbell said was racist. I don't think Earl Campbell is a racist, but the stuff that he was saying about quarterbacks, that was specifically about race, that black quarterbacks are better than white quarterbacks. That was racist. This guy is just being ignorant and being a dumbass and trying to describe it. And you know, there's going to be people that get upset. Look, I've never heard anyone come out and say, well, you know why white pitchers are so good? Because their white skin hides the white ball longer. And then you're not able to pick it up out of their hands. And so no one's ever come out and said something like that. That's never a thought in somebody's mind. So when I heard that, I thought, what an ignorant-ass statement.
Yeah. That was really well put together right there.
What?
You concise in the way you use the analogy?
This is why you have me to talk about these topics.
I mean, I'm totally okay with you on these topics. Yes.
So, yeah, not racist, supremely ignorant.
Just a dumb choice of words.
Yes.
And he probably knows that. And I think I tend to agree with both of you guys. At the end of the day, there was a point. And the point was that you struggle to see the ball. he just knows better not to use those words. Like, he knows better. And I think I don't know the guy, so I'm not going to sit there and like debate as to whether or not he's racist. I would assume that after he made that comment, he was like, oops.
Do you?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Maybe he didn't realize
it. Because I think if he did, he would have retracted it right away and or tried to cover it up in some way, shape, or form.
Or maybe when you go back and listen in retrospect, that's the whole point. Like, and sometimes you don't realize until after the fact, you know, that you messed up.
And that's a good point, too, because a lot of times, like, again, having lived through these moments, there were times where either Craig said something and I looked at him and we went to break and I go, you do realize the way you said that, people could misconstrue
that. You've done that to me. Well, I've said something, and you're and like, then, bro, you know, I know what you meant.
And then in the, you go back and you listen to it, or in your head, the wheels start turning like, man, I don't want this to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you start to panic.
So that's why I don't think he really realized the ramifications of what he said.
And maybe he didn't get any tweets. Maybe it went past the audience. You never know. That's a possibility.
Oh, no, I'm sure he got plenty of tweets and people in his ear and everything else at some point.
I would imagine.
But I don't think, just like, because... Again, I don't think there's any malice. I think it was just ignorance. Mm-hmm. Not malice, but ignorance. And there's a big difference. And people are texting like, that's bull crap. He's not racist. No one's saying he's racist. It was an ignorant statement, and it was ignorance on his part. And I imagine when you're ignorant like that, that a lot of times when you make the statement, it's just your pure ignorance that you don't even know what you said until someone points it out. And then you're like, oh, my God, I feel horrible. Like I could totally see that where, you're like, oh, that's not what I meant at all. I was just saying, like, you know, so I could totally see where there was no malice behind what his point was.
But it's a teachable moment.
But it certainly could be offensive.
It's a teachable moment. And also because of the times we're living in now and how everything is very, very highly scrutinized these days with anything that has to do with race, sexist. Anything like that is going to be even more so scrutinized than it might have been in the past. I think that so from the teachable moment side and also from you have to do something about it side, the Niners had to suspend him.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a bad move. I think it's the right move. You suspend him. You don't fire him. You take the stance that we don't accept that type of commentary and say it won't go unpunished, and that's it. He's not going to go hit the street or be broke or something. If he gets suspended, he'll serve his time and he'll be back.
If I'm not mistaken, he's actually released a statement and apologized.
Yes, he has.
I'm sure he feels awful.
And that's where I said teachable moment. I don't think he realized when it came out of his mouth until hours later. I'm sure people started going, bro, did you really hear what you said? And do you know that people are talking about it? And then with that, and then the fact that the organization took action, I think he gets it. It's a teachable moment, as I said, but then also that he was smart enough to make a statement to go try and clear the air going, look, I'm not a racist. I didn't mean that way.
Well, he's definitely going to get called that because people are ignorant too. But look, he just has to say he's not, apologize for it, and not do it again. It's basically the only approach he can take at this point.
Yeah.
And he's getting punished by his employer. Like, I mean,
and that's the biggest thing. Because if you're the Niners and you don't do anything about this, and you try and just turn the other cheek, then you're going to set yourself up for being as scrutinized, and people are going to come at the organization as much as they're just coming at this guy at Ryan. They would come at the Niners hard if they didn't do anything.
So I'm trying to find this dude on Twitter.
Okay.
And I can't, but it looks like there's another guy named Tim Ryan who's called the Sports Hernia.
Jeez.
He's a writer, editor, fashion critic, sneakerhead, NFL contributor, Bro Bible, award-winning designer of edible leisure suits. Okay, but it doesn't say anything. And he's from, says New York, Princeton, and LA is his locations. But I don't think he's the same Tim Ryan, but people are going at this dude. Like the guy we've had on the show before, John Jones.
Yep.
Who has John Jones on Twitter, and every time John Jones does something stupid, this guy that works in IT or whatever starts getting hundreds of thousands of followers from it.
He's like
tweets.
Up to like 12,000 followers.
So people are like, you're just an idiot and this and that. And he's like, no, I'm good. And they're like, somebody said, man, you should change your username because Twitter's going to come for you. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. Love your Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, why? He's probably picking up oodles of followers. Because then, there's always those one people like, you were right, Tim. Don't listen to him. Listen, you ever want to come down to Bama and hang out? We got you a place. Don't worry about it. You come on down. You can stay in the trailer with Meemaw and them.
Well, if you're Meemaw and them and you want to listen to more of the suspects, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Here's a quick reminder with a lot of you, not me included, headed for the playoffs in your fantasy football league. Sigmund Bloom, our expert, is going to be here for you. I know he's important during the regular season. He's never more important than he is now. So you know how we do these this Thursday thing with Sigmund Bloom? It's one segment only. We started at 2:30. Therefore, as we head to break right before 2:30, start calling. We take calls first. Then we'll take tweets and texts based on time, availability, and everything else. They would be second and third fiddle. So make sure you call first, 713-780-3776. Not now. Call right before 2:30, and we'll take the calls first, then tweets and texts, and get as many as we can in one segment with Sigmund Bloom as you get ready for fantasy football.
And if you're as good at fantasy football as Nick and myself are, this week means something to you.
If you suck,
then Joel doesn't care. Did you make the playoffs, Joel?
Nope, I just said that.
I just wanted to ask. I didn't know if everyone... There was music playing, and I didn't know if maybe people didn't hear you over the music.
I'm in the consolation bracket, just like everyone else.
Are you?
Yes.
Sweet. You ended up the one seed in your league.
Two is not
a
winner. Three nobody remembers, Joel.
Okay, just remember Steph Curry. It means nothing what you did in the regular season. If you don't win it all, you will hear from me.
You know, I was humble all season.
Yeah, you would humble.
I shouldn't have.
I ended up the two seed. You ended up the one seed in your league.
One seed,
huh?
Yeah.
In your ESPN league?
Yeah.
One of you guys are both crap the bed, it will be recognized. Don't you worry.
If I crap the bed, I'm not going
to tell you. I would have probably been the one seed had I not lost to an 0-12 team last week. Because I'm 8-5, and the one seed in front of me is 9-4.
I mean, especially because Julio Jones let you down.
Yeah, with zero. If he just gets his normal 16, I win by three, Joel. I win by three.
Barry,
way to go, Julio!
If you just pay attention to the fact that he was inactive, you probably could have gotten your 16 somewhere
else. I don't
else.
Need to hear it. I fell short because
Dalvin Cook, who was having a monster game, only had to give me 19 points, already had 16. He fumbled, hurt his shoulder, and sat the rest of the game.
And you know
Thank
what?
Thank you very little.
That's what kept you out of the playoffs?
In my opinion, yes.
Or piss poor management all year kept you out of the playoffs.
Well, if we would have had the valuable information that we found out thanks to Nick asking in the hallway last week, if we would have had that throughout the entire season, I may have put a little bit extra effort into it.
What valuable information?
The fact that we were told all year that we weren't eligible to win the prize.
That wouldn't have changed.
Then Nick asks in passing in the hallway, oh, yeah, of course you are. What?
You still would have sucked.
No. Injuries killed me. By the way, and I look, I'm my own worst critic.
Well, that's why you got to draft appropriately. I believe I'm the only one of the three of us that used the footballguys.com draft dominator.
I was getting made fun of for picking Michael Thomas first. Everybody was like, why didn't you go with like a Saquon Barkley or something like that? And I was like, no.
You had the first overall pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Courtney had the first overall pick in our league.
And everybody was making fun.
Look how that worked out.
Yeah. What seed are you again, sir?
Two seed.
Yeah.
Well.
One seed. You're looking at.
But yeah. Why? Because Julio Jones.
Why don't you both crap the bed in the playoffs?
No, that's because of you. That's a manager mistake, sir.
Is it?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I made operator error because I had the sleeper pick of the draft that no one else had. Dalvin Cook was sitting there like 3-4 rounds down. I got him, and I was like, that would have been huge. Then I started thinking about it when I found out I didn't make the playoffs, and I'm going, but I was adamant that Alvin Kamara was going to have a better year than Christian McCaffrey. Can you imagine if I had Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook? We wouldn't be having this conversation right now. That's all on
me. You would have barely missed it. I'm sorry. Okay,
you're not.
No, I'm not sorry. At all. Texans news, though, Aaron Wilson reporting that Titus Howard was placed on injured reserve.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
So the surgery to repair the meniscus in his right knee was successful. So, okay. And
successes?
What's funny is it put...
successful.
There was a cyst, but they removed
will,
it.
Suffering succotash.
He will be ready for the offseason?
Who cares?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, duh. Oh, so he's going to be ready to not do anything? Out? Sweet. He'll be ready to not do anything. Awesome. Okay. That's good to know. He's going to be ready to lay around with the rest of the NFL.
Did you hear that they're also Sweet. Holding out their last IL determination that they could save yeah. and bring back for JJ?
Yeah.
And JJ said, don't start with me. I know you're going. Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that. And then JJ said,
what?
I'm waiting for any indication when they tell me that I can go back out there and play. I'd love to do that. Well, that means that it's either one or the other. And Howard ain't coming back. Then it looks like it's all either JJ or not.
It's JJ or bust.
In more ways than one with you, isn't it?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. But now the listeners do. And now it's going to come up over and over again.
And while we're talking football, can we just give a hat tip and a shout out to the Colts organization as a whole for going out and pulling the most New England Patriots move on the Patriots? As you know, Patriots are having struggles in the kicking game. They cut Kai Forbath after he missed an extra point.
Yep.
In the Texans game. Yep. Mm-hmm. So they cut him, and then they go to get McLaughlin off of the waiver wire, Chase McLaughlin, and the Colts are like, nah, we're ahead of you on the waiver wire. We'll go ahead and take that kicker. And so now, three days away from game day, because of that move by the Colts, the New England Patriots do not have a kicker on their roster.
The only thing that would have been better is if the Colts were playing the Patriots.
That would have been the best. But right? I am absolutely giggly about this, that their kicking woes continue. Because, look, you got to hate, right? You got to hate a little bit when they're on top. And right now, they're still on top. They just lost. They're embarrassed. They're thinking, all right, we're gonna figure this out. We're going to solve at least this one thing. Nope.
But, you know, it also helps them. Because Vinatieri, it just came out right after that. Vinatieri is done for the year.
Yeah.
They think that, you know, whether he's saying his knee, it's a knee issue. Obviously, whatever it is, it hasn't been working all year for him with the missed field goals, the missed extra points, the blocks. He just, it's time.
Are you sure it wasn't a need issue? Like, he needs to retire?
And he said he's not ready to wrap it up. Well, like, you better have one. Speaking about the offseason, you better not only be ready for it, you better have a hell of an offseason if you think you're kicking again next year. I mean, the dude has, like, more gray hair than Robert De Niro, and he's still kicking field goals. He just ain't kicking them like he used to.
Don't you dare judge people with gray hair. I won't allow that.
Are you with the Frisky Whiskers over there?
Shut up.
Okay.
Okay? I won't allow that. I'm 60 years old with no gray hair.
He used to do that.
I did it during the October I lost the bet to a listener.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, he looked like Raheel 1 month. He had the Fu Manchu was jet black like a Sharpie did it.
Can we talk about the only saving grace of the Just for Men is that it dyes your skin so it makes your beard look fuller, but it doesn't help.
Like that spray hair?
I need to get that. I think I might do that.
You better not.
Oh, no. I might do that and then just go home and my wife would be like,
No.
What?
I've actually got a better product for you that you might want to consider.
I used to work with a guy
I think you really will buy it, too.
Yeah, I used to work with a guy that used that spray hair.
If this involves any bodily fluid.
No, it does not involve any. Why would
I don't know, because you're like that. You'd be like, yeah, just put this cow semen on your face and your hair will grow.
All right, let's talk about tight end sports bar and grill.
Nick, the bottom line is if you're not going to talk about someone's head and hair, you might as well go to the other end.
That's on me. Intentional. I got to be a better.
Go to the other end.
I got to be a better host.
Anyway, it's a Thirsty Thursday, and what better place to go enjoy that than Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gulf Freeway. 2502 Gulf Freeway, Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. Beautiful women serving you made-from-scratch food. As Joel is annoying me in my ear right now, and I hate him for it. But Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gulf Freeway, 2502 Gulf Freeway. The only spot where you can see beautiful women serving you food and enjoy sports. Full bar. If you missed Tito Tuesdays, that's your bet. Because it's $5 Tuesdays. $5 Tito's each and every Tuesday. at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. Also, Wednesdays, Chicken Alfredo. Don't miss that. Each and every Wednesday, it's the only day they serve Chicken Alfredo, and you better go check it out. Great place to enjoy that part of the menu. They also have wings. They also have the quesadillas. They've brought it over to the studio before. Joel and Barry absolutely love them, and it's only from Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gulf Freeway, 2502 Gulf Freeway. And remember, every Friday is Lingerie Friday. All girls are dressed in lingerie, and there's a live DJ as well. And that happens at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. And one last thing, everybody scores at Tight Ends.
I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force Water.